Welcome, Hope Grown Faith, to our Monday Mom Mentor for today. I'm so excited to introduce Gretchen Ronvick to you. Whenever her emails come into my inbox, I'm always like, stop, read this one all the way through, because they always are exactly what I need. And I love hearing from her and her thoughts on faith and what God is teaching her. So, welcome, Gretchen.
Thank you for having me. I feel just honored.
Well, I'm excited to have you. Thanks for making time in your schedule, because you are probably fairly busy. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, so I am the mom of 6 kids. I have 3 boys and 3 girls. So my oldest one is 16 and my youngest one is 4 now. So quite the range of emotions in our house at all times. I live in Minnesota. My husband farms full time. And so we live kind of out in the middle of nowhere. But so I'm also a writer. I write for 1517 and my own blog, and I have a book coming out this March called, it's called Ragged, Spiritual Disciplines for the Spiritually Exhausted.
That's exactly what we need to hear right now. And it was the topic of your book that I was like, that is exactly what we need to talk about, because in conversations that I've had over the past year or so, it seems to come up multiple times that moms are always told, you know, this is a busy season of life. You're just going to be exhausted. And yes, we are exhausted, but that doesn't mean we want to put our faith and our connection with God on the back burner. We can do that in the middle of that. And I'm excited to hear a little bit from you about that. So you talk about spiritual disciplines. Mm-hmm. What are they and why are they important for moms and not just like monks?
Okay, I know. A lot of times we talk about spiritual disciplines kind of like daily devotions. Mm-hmm. There's actually quite a few traditional ones like reading your Bible and praying, meditating on God's word. I have a lot of disciplines in my book. We also talk about fasting. We talk about lamenting. We talk about discipling and lots of things like that. And excuse me, I gotta drink something.
Gotta tickle.
So I completely agree with you. I've kind of been told that several times, and I think it's on both sides. On one hand, you get the people who say, you know, this is just the season where you're exhausted, so don't worry about the spiritual disciplines. Like, it's your life right now, and your service to God is being a mom. And part of me is like, well, but I want that. Like, I want that communion with God, and I want that special time with him. And on the other hand, people can lay a lot of guilt on you, like, mm-hmm. you have to make this a priority. And if you're not getting up before your kids every day, and if you're not making this a priority, then, like, you're not going to grow. And it's almost this looming law over us, and it can produce a lot of guilt, I think, because we know it's something that we want, but it just seems just out of reach. Like, it's constantly foiled, and our kids mess it up, and our husbands mess it up, and everything seems, life tends to mess up this routine that we're craving, or this time with God. And so I just talk about where God is in all of this. What is he doing for us? And so that we can take that guilt off and just reach out for him.
Mm. So. I love that. It's like, it's not really in the middle. It's like another way. Like my friend talks about a third way. Like,
yes,
it's not really a balance. It's just something completely different. It's
absolutely. Yeah.
So how did that end up becoming important to you? Is this something that has always just been a priority of yours, or is it, did you grow in that? Well, I'm assuming you grew
in that. Well, I mean, I grew up in the church. I went to Bible school. I would say that being in the Word has always been important to me, but I've never been super disciplined. I was like the messy kid, and I was always the disorganized person. And so there's kind of some, I don't know, maybe identity issues that I've had with that, if I'm just not always together, put together. But when I became a mom, I started asking older moms, like, how do you spend time in the Word? And how do you pray? How do you make time? And I would, you know, get all different answers. Some moms would just say, I just work on Bible memory at this phase. And I just have Bible verses posted around my house that on note cards that I'm rotating through. And And some moms say, you know, I just make it a priority and I just make sure it happens. And I think a lot of the women who really did have it together, had very disciplined kids and life together. One of my kids has special needs. So I always felt like I couldn't get my kids routined enough and their act together enough for me to get what I wanted from this. And so it was always this, I have to do it. I have to get it together. So I really started digging into theology, and in a lot of my writing, started asking the question. There's actually a book, Because He Loves Me by Elise Fitzpatrick, that talks a lot about this, of in our search for to grow in our spiritual walk, have we forgotten Christ? Have we forgotten where he is in this and how he is for us? And so I think a lot of times we are that identity issue that I was talking about before. We tend to think that we need to like work our way up in faith. Like we'll be at a higher level if we can get up before our kids. So we'll be in a higher level for if we can pray every day, or if we can, fasting isn't in vogue anymore, but the various disciplines of that. And it just kind of blew my mind when I realized when Christ is for me, I can share all of my inadequacies with God. I can say, Lord, I'm struggling to get this in. Can you make this happen? Or I had to start praying really dumb prayers like, God, can you help me crave you more than I crave coffee? Because a lot of people say you just have to want it more. And I would just say, but I don't want it. I want a nap. Like that is my problem, is I know it's a heart issue. As soon as I realized it was a heart issue, I realized, okay, when it's a heart issue, that is the Holy Spirit's business. And so let's talk to him about it. And let's start saying, Lord, can you help me with this? Because I'm really struggling on my own to make this happen. So yeah, that's kind of how it started. And I do a lot of mentoring in our church and our community. And so walking with a lot of young moms, finding just hearing their guilt over and over and over again. And then when they realize the freedom that they have with Christ, I think we can approach him a little less perfect on our level, because we're perfect because of Christ. Mm-hmm. So we can approach him and say, Lord, this isn't happening. Can you make this happen? And it's pretty amazing when that switch, that third way that you're talking about, that you mentioned.
Yeah, I love when you're talking about like just asking God to help with that. So maybe we don't even care about connecting with him. But if we want to care? No, I'm
yeah.
If we want to care, we can ask God for help with that. We can ask him to create that thirst and that hunger in us. And of course he's going to do that, because that is honoring to him and helps us.
That's what he's promised.
Yeah.
That's, he wants us to do that. And so I think just giving up this idea that I have to approach him perfectly, and I have to approach him with my constant best, because I am ragged and I'm tired and things aren't always how I wish that they would be. And so it's like, Lord, I am a wreck. Can you help me? Mm-hmm. And he doesn't mind that. And I think learning to pray really honest prayers instead of the really perfect prayers just made a huge difference for me.
Mm-hmm. So has that changed as your kids have grown older, or different seasons of your life? Have you had some kind of favorite spiritual disciplines that have helped you through specific times?
Yeah. So, yeah, I have a Simplicity Bible Study Method I have on my website, which is one way that I often walk through scripture. I've learned that balance is this elusive thing that always seems to be out of reach, because my kids, the stages that they're in are constantly changing. Like the stage I'm in right now is my oldest can drive and she can pick up groceries for me and like bring them home. And this is like brand new.
Wow.
And I have three babysitters. amongst my children. And that is brand new, where I can pick one and say, can you babysit tonight or that. Mm-hmm. So it definitely changes, I would say. But I've learned that if something works really well for 3 months or for 6 months and then it stops working, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Just find something new. It's not like this guilt thing. It's just, you've just entered a new stage.
Yeah.
You've entered a stage now, potty training, and you have to drop everything at the drop of a hat. And so it's going to look different. Maybe during that stage, you are listening to the Bible on audiobook, and that's the only way that you're getting it. And that's not a failure. That's just the stage that you're in. And the other thing that I learned about spiritual disciplines is we tend to look through the lens of as an individual, mm-hmm. like this is an individual growth. But actually, everything that God is doing in us through these spiritual disciplines is for the growth of the whole church. Mm-hmm. And so this is whole church business. This isn't just you and God. This is God and his church. And so if you are suffering or if you are struggling, it is in the best interest for the church if you reach out for help and say, okay, I'm not sleeping. I need help. Or I'm not able to sit through a sermon because my baby is just totally, like, I'm really dry. And so when I started seeing that my growth as a Christian wasn't just an individual business, but this is church business, it also has taken off the guilt for asking for help. So there's some seasons where you really do have to ask for help. And then there's other seasons where it's just going to look different. And that doesn't mean it's a failure. That's just life.
Yeah.
That's just life. And yeah, I hope that's helpful.
Yeah. So, I love that idea that it's the whole church. Do you have any suggestions for how to lean into that in a time when a lot of us aren't really meeting as a church? Like, we're just watching church on TV right now.
Well, I'm spending a lot of time on the phone these days, which is also very guilt-inducing because we have kids around and you don't want to like act like you're on the phone all the time.
Yeah.
But so we have been doing a Zoom Bible study at our church. We've also, I listen to a lot of podcasts. There's one called 30 Minutes in the New Testament and 40 Minutes in the Old Testament. And they kind of go verse by verse and explain it. I do that a lot for my devotions just because I can receive it. When the Bible talks about hearing the word, and that's that's our means of growing faith. A lot of times we like change that in our brains to read the word. And books weren't actually very accessible when that was written in the Bible. And so people didn't sit down and read with their Bible. They heard it.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, hearing the word is actually very community involvement. There, someone is speaking it to you. And so one of the things that I've leaned into a lot is, I lean in quarantine time, I've leaned into podcasts, I've leaned into Zoom Bible studies, and I've talked on the phone with a lot of other believers and prayed over the phone with a lot of people, because I think a lot of us are hurting and a lot of us are really just tired. And so it's whole church business to check in on one another and say, how can I pray for you today? But then when they're praying for you, that's building up the kingdom, and that's mutually beneficial. And that's actually a spiritual discipline in itself as well. So it's not so much that we have to do all the things. It's that sometimes there's various spiritual disciplines for various seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I describe all the various spiritual disciplines, we don't have to do them all today or all right now. It's God is for you in this way. And then God is for you in this way, and God is, and depending on where you're at, he will meet you there. So
yes,
I hope that's helpful.
yeah I'm thinking about that a little bit. I've never really thought about it in that way before, although I do like that podcasts are a spiritual discipline. Some podcasts.
I know I think so many times when there are helps, we feel so guilty because we're like, we should be working harder at this, or we should be invest
Doing the
in more of
workbook.
it. We got to work, you know, but we are not saved and we are not sanctified by our works. It is all by Christ. And so when we're leaning into, you know, I'm saved by faith in his works, then I get to rest and God is going to help me. And it's hard because it makes us aware of our weaknesses and we have to admit our weaknesses. But the more we do that, the more we realize that Christ is sufficient in all of it. And so then it gets more and more exciting of, oh my goodness, he's for me in that way. And he's for me in that way. And yeah, it's just hard because I think as a culture, we expect too much of women. We expect too much of moms. We're supposed to do all the things. And for Christ to say, no, I've got this one and I'm going to take care of you. It almost hurts. Like, what do you mean? I can't do it? No, you can't. That's why I came to die. That's why I'm here.
That's so, kind of the whole point.
So
we can't do it, but we want to try. We want to put up that face that says, I'm a good Christian mom. I get up and pray before my kids. I mean, if you do, that's great. That's
absolutely. We don't want to stop you. Go for it.
Yeah, exactly. I also think that like that community aspect can apply to our families as well. I often find that, you know, if I'm doing a little Bible study with my kids, that as if I'm not just in like teaching mode, but I'm actually also in receiving mode, I can be like, oh yeah, God is showing me something through this as well. Or sometimes we'll sit down and pray with them. And, you know, normally our prayers are like, come on, are you going to pray or what? But sometimes we sit down and we pray. And one of my boys, a couple weeks ago, I had put a candle in the middle of the floor. And I said, let's just all sit on the floor. And this candle, it's not God. It just reminds us that Jesus is with us, the light of the world. And we spent a little time in listening prayer. And one of them, he's like, I got to tell you something that I think God told me. And he pulled me aside and he's like, I think God said the universe is enormous and you're really little, but you can still make a difference. And I was like, okay. and so for that,
all right, then.
I did actually start crying because that had been something that I'd been really struggling with that week. Yeah. And I was like, God just spoke to me through my son because I was faithful to try something that might not be easy with them, but.
So, I would say for about 3 or 4 years, the only devotional time I had was with my kids. Mm-hmm. And I felt there's this word that we use a lot, and that's, is that enough? Like, is it enough if I'm just reading one verse? Or right now we're reading a chapter a day of Proverbs with my kids. And there's that question of, well, is it enough if it's with my kids? And when we have this ideal in our heads that is not in scripture, that you have to do it this way. And so, of course, if I'm meeting together with my children, with other believers, and we're reading the Bible out loud, that actually is enough.
Yeah.
And God will actually use that. And there's no, you're going to have a tough time finding a scripture saying you have to meet with God alone by yourself for a half hour every day.
Yeah.
Or you are not faithful. Like you just won't even find it. Mm-hmm. And so it has been very edifying to do that with my kids. And it's hard sometimes because I would prefer to do it alone. That probably sounds really bad, but I prefer to be alone and I'm just a quiet person and my kids are sometimes weird and, you know, or sometimes I feel like I'm correcting them too much or saying quiet down but even that, just crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, you're just going to have to take this and make something out of it because this is what we've got. This is what we got. And he's faithful to do that. Just like you said, he used your son and he made something out of that. And so, yeah.
Yeah, it's just about maybe making space in our lives for that if we can, or asking God to help us make space in our lives.
Absolutely. There was another season where Jill Briscoe once said that she struggled because her kids were, she would set her alarm to get up in the morning and her kids would always wake up with her alarm.
Oh.
And so like then it's like now everybody's awake too early and we're all cranky and everything is awful. And so she started praying. She's like, Lord, could you just wake me up before my kids without an alarm? Like, could you just wake me up? And he did. And I did that for a long time too. I just prayed, Lord, could you just wake me up and without my kids? And I would wake up at the perfect time every day. The problem then got to be God would wake me up and I wouldn't get up. I would just be like, whatever, not
I
today, Lord.
It's God.
So again, it usually always comes back to the heart issue of God, I know that I need to prioritize this and I'm just not doing it. Could you put this craving in me that is insatiable because I'm struggling to want it because I'm so tired and I'm so zoned out. And so, and he does, right? Just after I finished writing the book and editing the book, I kind of hit like this burnout where once again, I was doing terrible with my devotions and spending time with the Lord. And then, you know, you start feeling like, well, I'm just a fraud because I just finished writing this book and now I'm doing horrible at it. And I had still had to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I know I'm spending too much time on social media now. And I just don't even want things anymore. And I'm starting to use all of these coping mechanisms that aren't you. Could you help? And then pretty soon, as soon as I started praying that, whenever I pick up my phone and start going on social media, the Holy Spirit just starts weighing on me. Wow. Like, call me in. And so I think he is faithful to draw us in, but we have to admit our need there. And that's important. So,
yeah, that's really what I'm getting from our conversation, like just admitting that we don't have it and asking God to fill in those holes.
Yeah, and there's no shame in that. That's what he wants us to do. Yeah. That's a good thing.
I love that. So what has God showed you about discipling your kids during this, just as you're being discipled by him? How do you share that with your kids? Has he showed you any particular things? I mean, aside from reading a chapter of Proverbs a day.
I think one of the books my pastor gave us when we started kind of struggling when our kids were starting to get older. It's called The Age of Opportunity.
Okay.
Paul David Tripp. But I think what I've noticed with my kids, when they're young, you work really, really hard to get them to follow the rules. Mm. Like be quiet and sit still. And this is what you can do. And this is what you can't. And then as they start getting older and their faith starts to really become their own, there's so much pressure from the world right now for kids to be perfect. Like there's not a whole lot of room for them to fail. Like they're supposed to be the top of their class or they're supposed to be really good at this sport. And there's not a lot of doing things for fun. It's you have to be the best. And I mean, we homeschool, so you would think that we'd be protected from that. But even when I give like standardized tests to my kids and, you know, the state requires, and I'll just be like, you know, just do your best. We'll see where you're at and we'll just kind of adjust your curriculum accordingly. And they get so stressed out. They're like, but what if I do horrible? And it's just like, then we'll keep learning. Like, then we'll go over it again. Like there's no punishments here. It's, you know, not that we don't have punishments, but they put a lot of pressures on themselves that we don't put on them. Hmm. And so one of the things of discipling my kids is teaching them that it is okay to confess your sin. It is okay to confess that you're unable, because that's, like I said, one of my kids has special needs, and I think a lot of times he gets really discouraged by that. Mm. And teaching them that God is for us in our weakness, that God is for us where we are weak is where he is strong. That has been a huge theme teaching my kids lately. And so you have to find those opportunities. That's what that book talks about, is when your kids mess up or when they fail or when they confess, or they tend to get really angry when they face their insufficiencies. They're just like, oh, I'm just so, when they're mad at themselves, they tend to get mad at everybody else around them. Like I do.
Oh,
when
yeah.
I'm mad at myself, I get mad at everybody else around me. And teaching them, you know, God forgives you. He died on the cross for this sin. He came for you, and And that repetitive nature, every failure becomes an opportunity to point to Christ. And that has been a huge part of discipling my kids. And I find that the more that we have done that, now that they're getting older, they're starting to see that in their peers of they're hurting, so they need to hear about Christ, or this person is hurting, so they need to hear about Christ. And that has been really neat to see, where they can, the more that they come to terms with the fact that God came for their sin, and what that means, not just once, but for all of life, they start to see that same pain in their peers. And they're like, oh, I know the solution for that. That's God.
Yeah.
And start pouring on them. So it's been really neat to see. As far as spiritual disciplines, my oldest, I would say, gets in the Word on her own just because she craves it. The rest of them, I don't see it as much. Sometimes they'll challenge themselves to read through the Bible, or they'll challenge themselves. But we kind of have our steady start to our school day. Mm-hmm. I won't say that we're super consistent about it. If we hit 3 days a week, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. So,
we're not perfect about it. But on the other hand, God isn't just in 15 minutes of our morning as a family.
Yeah.
He's something that we're talking about all the time. And it's someone that we pray to before meals, and someone we talk about at bedtime. And so I think when we realize that it's not just this one 15 minutes, it's throughout the day, then if we make that 15 minutes 3 times a week, I'm like, you know what? God is going to use that, and He's going to make something out of that. And that's enough. And so I always have big aspirations to do more. And sometimes it works for a while, and then it doesn't anymore. And then we try something new. But when I realized that my spiritual life and my spiritual family life is dependent on God, it's not dependent on me being perfect.
Yeah.
There's a freedom to that of, all right, well, where, and almost a freedom, like as an anticipation of like, God, where are you going to show up and help our family next? Because you haven't abandoned us. So what's next is kind of the freedom that we live in, instead of, oh, I guess we did this again. It's just living in this anticipation. And it's, I think that's contagious among the kids of living in anticipation for what God is going to do in your life next.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a very exciting way to live. I like that. So is there anything else you wanted to share before we leave? Anything, any particular word of encouragement for the moms who are feeling spiritually ragged right now?
Oh, you know, just confess all of the ugly things to the Lord, all of the guilt that you are feeling, is something that He wants to take away from you. He wants to just totally relieve you of that burden, because He is enough. When we're not enough, He is completely enough. And the more you cling to Christ as being sufficient instead of yourself for being sufficient, your kids are going to see that. They're going to see when mom fails, she reaches out to God. And instead of mom is perfect, so I have to be perfect. And that there's just a lot of pressure for that, I know. And so cling to Christ with everything in you, with every failure. Just give it to God and totally confess. And he will not let you fall. He won't let you. So I guess that's it. So
aside from read the book.
I was just about to say, I think you were going to ask me. I have a website. It's GretchenAnovic.com, and you can sign up for my newsletter there. I need to update. There's like one or two things I need to update on my website. It is working now. Okay. So yeah, that goes out once a month. That's probably the most popular thing that I write, but I will keep everything updated on the website for when the book comes out next March. So, yeah.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Well, thanks for sharing with us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Christy. This is great.